IR Simplified Podcast, episode 70. In this episode of the IR Simplified Podcast, I will be talking about and giving a little bit more information to those who are starting in business for the first time, my thoughts on what you can do to simplify industrial relations and to make sure you stay on the right side of the Fair Work Ombudsman. So, without further ado, let's get on with the show. Hello everyone, thank you for joining me here on this another episode of the IR Simplified Podcast. In this episode, as I said at the start of the show, I'll be giving my suggestions on some things that every new business owner can do to simplify industrial relations and to keep themselves on the right side of the Fair Work Ombudsman. So obviously, you know, when you go into business for the first time, you have, you know, most people have no idea about everything that's going on, what they're supposed to do, compliance and all that sort of stuff, which is why most of the time that the switched on ones do go and seek help. And, you know, that's the first thing that I'm going to say is that if you're going into business, the very first thing you should be doing is seeking help. You know, if you're a widget maker then and you're good at making widgets, which is why you've gone into business for yourself, then the first thing that I suggest you do is you go and talk to someone about it. Go and find a business coach or something like that. Or, you know, if you can, to a certain point, go and check out your competition, see what they do, and all that sort of stuff. So that'll go down to licensing for the right requirements, you know that you are starting in the right area for a start, because, you know, you can't start an industrial property or industrial business in a residential area or a rural area because it'll be conflicting with the council zoning. So, but, you know, more on the industrial relations side of things, you know, contact, and as much as I don't want to recommend them, you know, contact your local chamber or business group or something like that and have a chat to them. Say, hey, you know, this is the idea. This is what I want to start. This is a business that I want to do, making widgets. You know, what suggestions can you give me? They may say join up and all that sort of stuff. In your early days, it may be beneficial to do that, especially if you're not, the business, or it's being a new business, so it wouldn't be profitable to start off with that, because that may be the most cost-effective thing for you to do. So, you know, join that, go to their networking groups, go to anything that they do just to get information, idea. You know, lurk around on Facebook, LinkedIn, have a faucet around there, and, you know, and see what groups are there, join in for that. Now, you know, as much as everyone loves trying to help everyone else out, if you're talking about, which is the next bit that I'm going to get onto about the NES and modern award compliance and all that sort of stuff, make sure that you're talking to someone that does do that, not someone who says, oh yeah, you know, I've had a business for 20 years, this is what you need to do. Because, you know, even though they may be well-intentioned, they could be giving you the wrong information. So this is the thing. New business owners need to know, and that includes the ones who are just buying into a franchise as well, because we've seen that there's been a, with the Royal Commission, that's not the Royal Commission, the Parliamentary Commission that's going on with franchises, and a little bit to the Banking Royal Commission as well, is that a lot of new franchisees don't do their due diligence. So this is the thing. You know, every new employee that you get, you must give them the National Employment's Statement. What do they call it? The Fair Work Information Statement. And that contains the 10 workplace entitlements which form part of the National Employment Standards, or the NES. And that is, obviously, number one is a maximum standard working week of 38 hours of full-time for full-time employees plus reasonable additional hours. Now, the reasonable addition hours depends on the individual, the circumstances, the business and all that sort of stuff. You know, if they've got other commitments out of it, it may be reasonable that they do 2 hours a week. If they don't, then, you know, it's four. But, you know, in all honesty, have a discussion with them. Number two is a right to request flexible working arrangements. Now, this is the thing. Just because they've requested it doesn't mean to say that you have to give it to them. Obviously, there are some requirements where if a person does have particular categories or criteria than that, then you do need to consider it reasonably, which you should be doing with everyone anyway. But, you know, you don't just automatically say no to that. Number three on the NES is parental and adoption leave of 12 months unpaid with a right to request an additional 12 months. Number four on the NES is 4 weeks paid annual leave each year, obviously prorated from the time that they started. Number five is 10 days paid personal slash carers leave each year, prorated. 2 days paid compassionate leave for each permissible occasion and 2 days unpaid carers leave for each permissible occasion. Now, obviously, permissible occasion and all that sort of stuff would, you know, depends on the circumstance, the situation, etc. Number six, community service leave for jury duty or activities dealing with certain emergencies or natural disasters. This leave is unpaid except for jury service. So obviously, you know, jury service is paid. From memory, what most places do is that because you get money for being on the jury or even paneled, is that you, the money that they get from that, you will get topped up to be your normal weekly wage. So the company won't pay you the full wage, but they'll pay the difference between what the jury service gives you and what your normal weekly wage was. Number seven is long service leave. Number eight is public holidays and entitlements to paid for ordinary hours on those days. Number nine is notice of termination and redundancy pay. And number 10 is the right for new employees to receive the Fair Work Information Statement. Now, and that Fair Work Information Statement is a PDF that's put out by the Fair Work Ombudsman that you'll be able to find. I will include a link to it in the show notes for this one. But this is it. You know, make sure they've got that. You know, it's a two-page document. It goes through about the flexible working arrangements, goes into the NES, talks about enterprise agreements, individual flexibility arrangements, freedom of association and workplace rights, termination of employment, right of entry, the Fair Work Ombudsman and the Fair Work Commission. Now, that's the thing. I mean, you know, every time you get a new employee, you know, give them that. That's going to be one of the first things that the ombudsman does or the inspectors do if they knock on your door is, hey, have you given them a Fair Work Information Statement? If you can't record that you have, then, you know, you're bound to be found to be non-compliant. So the best thing, give them a copy of that. Anything that you give a new employee, I would keep a copy of it in their personnel file or whatever you want to call it. So that way, if you do get a knock on the door, you can say, well, yes, I have. And especially it's the other thing too, is that if they turn around and say, well, no, I haven't received it, you can say, well, yes, you did. I gave it to you on this day. And that would be going down to obviously part of the onboarding process that you do is that you'd say, hey, listen, here's a list of documents. You'd have your company policies. You'd have the Fair Work Information Statement, just get them to sign a bit of paper to say, yes, I've received these and I have read or will read them from there. So this thing now, as I said, mentioned in that, in the NES, it does talk about modern awards. Now, that's the next thing that every new business owner should be aware of, and that is the modern awards. Now, unless you're buying a business that's already established and they are covered by an enterprise agreement, there are very few areas where the employee would be classed as award free. Now, the default position, and you know, until you can find out otherwise, is I would be resting on the miscellaneous award. Run off that as your base award if you don't know what modern award that they are. And the other thing that you can do is, which I will talk about later on, is when seeking help, is that you can go and check out the Fair Work Ombudsman's website, which is calculate.fairwork.gov.au. Now then, that's their pay and conditions tool, which you'll be able to find out. You obviously start with the position description. So if you want to call them widget builder, you'd go in there and ask you a whole heap of questions and then end up telling you what modern award that it applies to. Now, there are some clerical positions and admin positions that are covered by different awards, though if you're starting widget building, you'd be obviously finding someone else who can build widgets. So whether that's, for argument's sake, under the widget builders award, you'd be looking at that one rather than the cleric award for that. So, and that's the thing. Obviously, disclaimer that this is not legal information, so you do need to seek competent advice on that one. So this is just general in discussion. The next thing that I recommend that people do, and I suggest that they do, especially if you're in a new business or buying an established one and you haven't done it before, is to keep the lines of communication open. So don't just decide, hey, you know, I'm the boss, I'm a small business owner now because I've got one or two people, and then that's it. Keep the lines of communication open, dialogue with them, get them involved. If there's something that they're not happy with, get them to approach you. You know, and that's the thing, I'd even actually be going further than that, is finding out what they're not happy with before they come to you with something that they're not happy with. So this is the thing, if you keep the dialogue open, then, you know, you're bound to find out that, you know, you employ Bill Smith in the widget building as your, you know, new Acme Widgets organization. You find out from that, and then you have conversations with Bill one day, and he turns around and says, oh, yeah, you know what? I actually think we're under a different award. We're not under the Widget Builders Award. We're under the Widget Manufacturers Award or something like that. So then you have a discussion with him, think, oh, yep, all right, that's fine. I'll look into that. Have a conversation from there. Don't get narky and grumpy and, you know, have tantrums and all that sort of stuff and say, you know what you're doing because you're the business owner and all that sort of stuff. Say, yep, I'll look into it. If you've had a look at it and you are sure that they are under the Widget Builders Award, not the Widget Manufacturers Modern Award, just turn around and say, well, yeah, you know, this is why we believe that you are under this one. And by the other side of the coin as well is that should be all wrapped up in your position description that you've done with them too. So, you know, there should be I won't say a fairly detailed, but there should be a sufficient enough information in the position description that they know, you know, what classification it is, what level it is, what their modern award is, and things like that. So that's the thing. Going back with that, with the keeping the dialogue open, that if you do get that discussion and you are curious about it, as I said, don't just turn around and say, hey, I'm the boss, I know what's going on. Go and seek help. If your business is grown a bit bigger and, you know, you don't want to join one of the business groups, which, you know, and everyone knows I'm not a fan of them, you know, go and seek help. Go and find, you know, a genuine consultant, not a, you know, these big firms that are more about compliance than workplace relations and all that sort of stuff and putting you on, you know, very restrictive and long-term contracts that you can't really afford to pay and just make it ridiculous. You know, find someone, have a chat to someone. There's LinkedIn groups, there's everywhere. And all that sort of stuff. More than happy to answer any questions that you have. Send me an email and include it in the comment section or anything like that. So this is the thing. I mean, I cannot see any genuine reason why any small business owner or business owner for that matter of fact should fall foul of the Fair Work Compliance Laws. You know, if you don't want to pay money for anything, if you don't want to spend the money on a consultant or someone to come in and help you set everything up right, you know, you can do it all yourself. Yes, it'll take substantially more, greater period of time and, you know, maybe a bit of a learning curve because, you don't know the right questions to ask and the things to look for. As I said, start with your position description. Decide what you're doing. For, Acme Widgets, obviously you'd want, someone to work the automated, you know, widget building machine. So you'd put that as a widget operator level 1 or level 2. Go and decide from there. Have a look in the relevant modern award. From there, work position description on that, because they do have, to a certain degree, with the classifications, they do give you some criteria on the information that would be in a position description from there. So, you know, build it up from that. Once you've got that done, if you're confused by the way that the modern award goes, go off to the Ombudsman's pay and conditions tool that I mentioned before, which is calculate.fairwork.gov.au. Find your award, go through that. You're an employee looking for pay rates, tick all those little boxes there. You know, I'm happy to say it. You know, it doesn't ask for information. So if you put employee or employer, it's not going to contact you later on or create a, a notification on their system to come and check you out. But just go and have a look at that. Go through that process. You know, put in what you think, what the position is. It'll ask you all that sort of stuff. And then it'll give you a little sheet at the end of it, a little one-page document at the end, which I think you could probably download. I'm not sure. I haven't run through it in a while. But if not, take a screenshot of it or write it down. tells you what their pay rates are going to be on Mondays to Fridays, any allowances that they're entitled to get, what their overtime rates are, what their Saturday rates are, Sunday rates are, and all that sort of good stuff. And that being said, that if you do go and check it out this week or next, keep in mind that on the 1st of July, for any pay periods after that date, that there will be the 3.5% pay increase. Now, obviously, that this was just a short discussion on that, and the, you know, the particular details or information of your business may vary differently from, you know, Bob, who's, or, you know, Bob, the owner of Acme Widgets. So the next suggestion that I have is that I do recommend, and a bit of a shameless plug here, is that you enroll in the free Understanding Fair Work Act course that I do have here at irsimplified.com.au. I will include a link to that in the show notes. Now, speaking of show notes, you'll be able to find that at irsimplified.com.au/episode70. That's the number 7 and the number 0. So, but that's the thing. You know, this is a podcast. Download it as an MP3. Listen to it as many times as you want. Go through the information. If you enroll in the course, I'll give, you know, do go through it in a bit more detail. That will take, you know, obviously there's not room to talk about that in a, what are we now, 16-minute podcast. I do recommend that you enroll in that course, goes through a bit more information about that, as well as, you know, compliance, dealing when the ombudsman comes and knocks on the door, who's who in the zoo, as well as, you know, basic understanding of union right of entry and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, again, that's the Understanding Fair Work Act course that you'll find on irsimplified.com.au. So that about wraps it up for this episode. Thank you for listening. There will be another episode out next Friday. Not sure talking about that one at the moment. Haven't sat down and worked things out on that one, but it will be an interesting one. I can assure you of that one. Anyway, thanks again for listening. Find us on iTunes, subscribe, thumbs up, thumbs down, all that sort of good stuff. So anyway, again, thank you for listening, and bye for now.